The fast breaking news in December concerning Romania startled the world. We had just returned from Romania a few days before, and there was little or no indication of the impending momentous events about to break across the headlines of our newspapers with the impact of a speeding train. History is still being made. The final chapter has not been written. The drama continues. But for the moment, I want to take you with me to Romania during those early informative hours of their miracle revolution. You'll hear the voices of Christian leaders like Dr. Nicolae Gheorghiță and Dr. Paul Negruț, pastors of the Biserica Cristina Baptista in Oradea, the largest Baptist church in Europe, East or West. You'll meet dedicated laymen like Benny, Onesimus, and Titi. You'll thrill to the inspired voices of Romanian Christians as they sing praises to God who made the miracle revolution possible.
Maybe some of the Western people will be a little discouraged when they see that now in Romania things are not very well organized. But as I see, between tyranny to democracy, you have to go through anarchy.
Dr. Paul Negruț, evangelist and associate pastor of the Biserica Cristina Baptista in Oradea, Romania.
You cannot avoid anarchy.
Do you feel that's what you're seeing now?
To some extent, yes. But we see that the Christian churches are still organized. It's not a mess among Christians in the country. And even the secular society, it's getting organized day by day. The new government gives some laws, some new perspective, new project, and the country comes together. But in the first days, it was very difficult to see what will happen next 5 minutes. But you have to understand, it's a time when we pass through a form of anarchy toward the democracy.
Paul, you were in Tim Schroyer the very night that a lot of this started. And I know you could take a long time. Take 5 minutes and share with us. You were preaching there and what really kicked off this whole thing.
I arrived in Timișoara because the borders of Romania were completely closed. And Peter Dugulescu had an evangelistic crusade in his church. And Kevin Ford was invited to speak, the son of Leighton Ford. And he was not allowed to come in the country. So Peter phoned me and said, Paul, you must come and help me. So I decided to go. Arrived there Friday night, and he told me, Paul, there are some problems here because around Pastor Turkish, there are large groups of believers that surrounded his house because secret police wants to send him out from Timișoara. Saturday night, those hundreds people, the multitude grew to a few thousand people. And Saturday night, those people move from the house of the pastor toward the center of the city. And they broke the windows of the libraries, took all the books of Ceausescu, put them in the main square of the city and burned them. And we say in Romania that for the first time, the writings of Ceausescu produce some light. And that night, when I came out from the church, I saw troops with water tanks that were marching toward the center of the city to scatter the crowd. They couldn't succeed because the people turned those water tanks upside down, and they were determined to stay there. Now on Sunday, I saw the whole city was occupied by troops. There were tanks, there were military, there were helicopters flying over the city. But Sunday afternoon, almost the whole population of Timișoara was down on the street. Around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the troops started to shoot. Now, what happened that time, I think that is unique. I saw people that when they knew that their brothers, their fellow citizens were killed, they ran toward the troops with open chest. They opened their shirts, and they said, "We go there to be killed. We prefer to die than to live." When the first drop of blood was shed in Timișoara, Ceaușescu was finished. Because people were determined to die, to shed their blood, but to obtain the freedom. And I would say that in Romania, we have the freedom twice through blood. First of all, by the blood of Christ, we have the freedom from sin, from Satan. And then through the blood of those who died on the streets of Timișoara and Bucharest, another city, we have the freedom in the country.
In the crisis hour, Romanians seem to know instinctively how to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. There have been thousands of martyrs for Christ across the years. Now, this time-honored hymn has new meaning. But oh, the cost. In Timișoara, where it all began, we had this eyewitness account of the Holocaust.
All night long, they were shooting continuously.
Titi Bulzano, an architect and dynamic young lay pastor.
Just shooting on everybody that was on the streets. The 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st, Timișoara has been under siege by the army and the secret police. Timișoara differs from the rest of the country, where the army didn't shoot. But in Timișoara, the army was for 5 days fighting all the Timișoara inhabitants. For instance, at, you said, bread factory? The bread factory, the gates were guarded by 2 armored vehicles, and in the midst of the street, one heading one end of the street and another one heading the other end of the street, there were 2 machine guns. Their orders, and they obeyed the orders, were to shoot in anybody that is moving, and there are 2 or 3 persons together. Sunday night, the ones that left the church and went even on side streets found many, many, many huge spots of blood. There was blood everywhere. In the dark, you could hear all the noise of the bottles, cans, all kind of things like that have been thrown at the armored vehicles by the population that was shouting against them. But the only reply was machine guns, shots. After the slaughter started, after midnight, in Timișoara, it was December. We had a terrible, almost flood. It was like thunders and lightning, and it was a summer rain that made the blood come also on the streets where it hasn't been. So the whole city was filled with water and blood together. And the people came out of their places and started to shout, "Thank you, God, that you're cleaning our blood," or something like that, "that you are making us aware of the blood that has been shed in the center." The factory stopped their work and got into the street the 21st of December, that was on Wednesday, and the crowd decided to stay in the center. Without leaving the place anymore. So they stood there, and trucks with bread loaves and with mineral water, you've seen it on the tape, were coming and distributing freely the bread and the water. The 22nd in the morning, the restaurant that was right there on the corner across the opera balcony where they have started to lead the multitudes, they had also sandwiches made and distributed freely. And he told me it was an unbelievable discipline. Nobody was keeping things for him, or everybody was very generous in his dealings with the other ones. The unbelievable thing is that several incidents occurred in those multitudes, 200,000 people. All of a sudden, they have decided, let's control each other. And people were supposed to turn towards each other and body search each other. So they found scores of terrorists that were armed there and were watching to start shooting. And so they caught them right away there.
By now, 200,000 people were in the streets in front of party headquarters. They tried to get the leaders to come out and talk with them, but one after another refused.
They had no connection with Bucharest. They didn't know what to do, to negotiate, not to. They didn't know what to do. So finally, they started to shout, give us our children back, give us our children back. Of course, nobody knew where the children were, because I told you, by tanks and by armored vehicles, they went against the crowds, they squashed them, they came back so that no limb could be attached to something else, and for the dead not to be recognized anymore. And behind them there were bulldozers that were loading these corpses into trucks, and the trucks were leaving also trace of blood that was pouring from the load. The thing is that they had the wounded sent to hospital only after 2 days, because for 2 days they didn't accept them in the hospitals. They were preventing also the ambulances to get out in the city and gather the wounded. So nobody knows where the actual dead have been taken to. So finally now they are starting to uncover common graves, as we've seen this morning, where to the place that we've been to, they have discovered 50 corpses of children, women, old people, all together, put together.
Titi, does anyone really know just how many people were killed in this awful tragedy?
It has been reported that the number of people that have died is really unknown, because loads of wounded and of dead have been sent to Reshica, and they have been incinerated in the huge kubilos where they make the steel. It was the fastest working thing during that day, and they have sent also in other cities these dead by meat trucks that have refrigeration system. So they froze them and they took them away to be burned or incinerated some other part. Then those horrible nights, security or secret police officers have been reported entering the hospitals and throwing on the windows, splashing on the windows, on the sidewalks, medicines and blood. And in the meantime, they were killing all the wounded that they could get.
In the hospital wards, they killed the wounded.
In the hospital wards. And also, all the registers that had the names of the patients were disappeared. Nobody knows how many have been registered. Nobody knows how many were dead, how many were wounded, how many have been actually killed in the hospital wards.
When did the army change and begin to support the people?
It was Friday night. The army withdrew that morning, and the secret police found themselves unable to control the situation anymore, so they disappeared also. But that night, the terror started. And you risked your life if on the streets, because they were shooting from everywhere. And also, that night, the army started to take position. They had new orders, and they started to fight back the terrorists. And the army, with civilians, with representatives of the street and the people that knew the places, were going from block of flats to block of flats. They were checking all the apartments, the attics, the terraces, the basements, everything. And they found scores of them hidden in all kinds of places. We have seen many dying on the stairs, in the hallways of the blocks, because people were getting down in the streets to see what's happening, and they were waiting for them downstairs, and as soon as they saw the crowds being enough for their bullets, they were starting to shoot. Many have been shot like that, and I've seen also some that have been shown on the Romanian TV from Timișoara. Girls of 12, 11, 14, boys, old persons, the ones that stayed home, were not in the city and or in the factories.
What position did the Orthodox Church take in all this?
The people here in Timișoara have been very angry with the Orthodox Church because they have seen the blood running on their stairs. People were, when the shooting started, the 22nd. So they expected the church to be a place of refuge. But instead, when the shooting was heard, the priests have closed the huge gates of the cathedral. So people were begging them to open up while they were dying on the steps.
In times of crisis, men seem to turn quite naturally to God. Pastor Peter Dugulescu spoke from the balcony of the opera house and led over 100,000 people in the Lord's Prayer. Can you imagine the joy and release? For over 45 years now, the people have been told, there is no God. We'll build a paradise on earth. Now, over 100,000 people in the town square of Timișoara affirm, there is a God. There is a God. What has been the spiritual impact of all this trauma and terror? What have the Christians learned that they can share with us in the West?
This is what we really need in this situation.
Yes.
To walk with the Lord.
Yes.
We're talking to Benny, a dedicated lay preacher in Cluj.
It's a spirit in the country. As soon as the events just were through and we realized that something happened and the changes came over, it was a tension. We heard everything was what was going on in Timișoara, and when we heard the killing, we knew before that it would go on. When in the other countries, like in Bulgaria, Zhivkov was put in prison or proposed to be put under arrest, and Honecker, and so we realized that for us is no other chance, just bloodshed if anything would happen, because the decision and the determination of the leadership, they either lost everything, mm-hmm. either killed everybody. That was the game which we foresee. It was like a dream, you know, like it was like a wind blow. It was so rapid. By noon the TV was over, the radio was over. And what shocked me most is, as they were announcing on the TV and radio the takeover, one by one, the people who speak on the radio, the reporters, came on before the microphone and they asked forgiveness from the people. One after another. It went on for minutes, you know. And I could not stop crying. You know, these people, it was like lifting up from their back a huge load, you know. This is how everything started, you know, with a tremendous remorse, you said, in people's hearts, especially those involved in the mass media. But what was interesting is that God lifted up people in the country we never expected. Joseph Zorn could hardly get on the TV. He got 1 minute. Talos prepared a cassette of 15 minutes. He never got on the TV. So a few Orthodox priests came in, but they were so compromised that the people did not want to listen to. And It was a miracle, the single fact that everything came around Christmas. I strongly believe if it would be 1 month before, 15 days before, or 15 days after, the opening to God would be totally different. Mm. Totally different. It was on Christmas Eve, and that's how the whole program opened up in the TV, says, God was with us. You know, it's a shouting of an actor, and everybody shouted, God was with us, and God will help us. And the name of God and the carols, you know, of all these days, it was just a blow open of the country. You know, the whole country was blown open to God. And people, you heard about Doina Cornea. It's a lady from Cluj who wrote a few letters, you know, against the whole regime. She went to the TV and said, oh, I hear a word which I don't like. She's very respected in the country. She was proposed from the Nobel Prize this year because of all the things she went through. And she said, I heard the word revolution. I said, no, no, that's not the correct word. The correct word for everything was which went on, and that was on the TV, is miracle. Mm-hmm. A gift from God, she said. She's a lady, very strong personality, very, very mild person. So it's a feeble person, mm-hmm. strong personality. So it was a miracle from God. Mm-hmm. After a few days, the Minister of Culture, it's Andrei Pleșu, and a whole group of writers, very appreciated writers of the country, came together. And that was, I feel, what's miracles. The whole discussion, it was for hours, the discussion went on, was opened by this man, Andrei Pleșu. And he started this way. He said, we had an external revolution. But what a country needs an internal revolution. Said, without an internal revolution is no hope for this country. Said, we do not have a reference point, a stable reference point. And the only stable reference point for this nation is God. If we don't accept God back into the nation, that will be no hope. Now, and he spoke for a while. Joseph Stone could not get on the TV, but God raised up men like this, you know, and this polarized the tension, and it was right in the midst of, it was fantastic to go through the town and see a Christmas tree lighted up with bulbs all over. We never saw it for 40 years. I never saw it in my life.
Yeah,
because
I
saw in our homes, but not out in the town, you know, not out in the town. On the TV, there were Christmas trees in the... That was fantastic for the country. Mm. You know, and when I look back to it, I see that it was God's hand from one end to another. It was like a spontaneous reaction. The whole country, the whole church turned to prayer. It was a prayer spirit lift. The whole church was lifted up to pray. Mm. It's a prayer chain going on in the church. And that's what we did the first... The Christmas day, it was 25th, was Sunday, the whole, it was a prayer meeting from morning till night in the church, and everybody prayed for a situation. It is a fear in all people's hearts that it will be very hard to establish democracy right now, straight away. Mm-hmm. It's a miracle what's going on, because as I think about, as I was preaching about liberty, what shocked me in our dictionary is that because of our ideology, materialistic ideology, our definitions in the dictionary are giving the way or explaining the way we think about freedom and liberty. And in our dictionary, to be free is to be under no restraint. Now the next word is license in our dictionary. License means that you live without restraints instead of accepting a moral restraint and the restraint of decency. So there are two words playing against each other. In people's minds which have no God, the moral restraint has no value. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. For 45 years, we said, is no God. If it's no God, there are no moral standards, fixed standards. So there's nothing to bounce against my desires and pleasures and so on, and my will to finally do whatever I want. So they will go with the definition of the freedom. And that was frightening 2 days ago on the TV when it was this meeting in Bucharest. And we watched it, you know, it was all direct. And you could see that people have no restraints.
I think one of the things that amazed us most is the rapidity with which all these events happened.
Yeah, somebody commented interestingly, said it took years for Poland to change. It took months for Hungary to change. It took weeks for DDR to change. It took days for Czechoslovakia to change, but it took just hours for Romania to change. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is so true.
I asked Benny, what was the reaction of the people to the news that the Ceausescus had been executed?
I think the whole country was a relief. It was interesting. Very many Christians just got a burden to pray for them. And we did too. And beyond their atrocities, they were human beings. Once dead, there's no more chance for being saved. But as we were watching the situation and still believe that it was a demonic war, it wasn't a human war. And as I look to the whole situation, in the moment he visited China, Mao Zedong was living, and from there he went to Korea. It was a sharp turning in his whole policy. He was loved, appreciated inside, outside, till that moment. But that moment is like a demon gripped his heart, a demon of making himself God. And it was so obvious from the first day he came home that it marked a sharp turn in the whole situation in the country. As we realized what he intended to destroy the whole country. The Egyptian pharaohs, when they died, usually 30 or so ladies were put in the tomb with him. But he wanted to go in death with the 20 millions of people. The plan was, as I heard, to destroy dams, to destroy the chemical industry, to poison the air. They tried to poison the drinking water, and it was detected in Sibiu. The first days it was unbelievable. On the TV there were announcements, don't drink the water, it's poisoned. Imagine what it did to the country. Everybody was shocked. He said, boil the water before you drink it. Others said, if it's poisoned, you, there's no reason to boil it. You can't solve the problem boiling it. So for days, every half hour and every hour, it was an announcement. They were reporting from the whole country, you can drink the water. It's good in Sibiu and Bucharest. And they were going through the country and checking it regularly, giving the announcement, because it turned the country upside down. I know the whole world was perplexed that they executed him so quickly. But actually it was proven in practice that in the moment of his execution, things immediately calmed down. If you can imagine, then they took in Timișoara people which were not dead, wounded, throw them in a common big ditch, or ditch how we call it, and just throw upon them very strong acid, and they were living, still living. Mm. They went to the hospital and shoot the wounded, you know, shoot the doctors and throw them out on the windows.
Benny, why would they do such things?
There are no explanation outside of a demonic mm-hmm. involvement. No explanation, because that is blowing your mind when you see what they did.
You can imagine the peasants' joy in villages earmarked for destruction under the Ceausescu regime. For some, the reprieve had come just hours before the bulldozers began their awful task. For the village of Vladisiatska and several hundred others, it was already too late. Today, there is only a barren, snow-covered field where, for generations, a thriving little community had lived and loved and worked together. So where do we go from here? How can we help our Romanian brothers and sisters in Christ? I put that question to Paul Negruț.
If we want to evangelize Romania, then we have to look at the local churches. And I would say that 90% of the buildings of the local churches in Romania, I mean evangelical churches, are inappropriate for church buildings. They are so small, so old. Some of them are ready to collapse because they were built it up at the beginning of the century. Now we need to rebuild those local churches, because when non-Christian will join our meetings, our churches, they need to have rooms, classes for children, for teenagers, for prayer meetings, for Bible study. And that is a huge task in front of us, to provide the basis, to provide the facilities where those people will come. Then, when they come, we need to see literature for children. They will come at the church and we need a Christian literature to teach them the Word of God according to their age and their capacities. Then we need literature for teenagers, literature for those who will study the Bible and will be ready to go and spread the gospel in the country. Then we need to consider that a democratic country will provide freedom for everything. Now it's a vacuum in the country. It's a vacuum that will be filled with Western pornography, sex movies, with Eastern religions, all kind of cults, all kind of false philosophies. If Christians will be lazy now, they will not think, they will not act quickly, then the vacuum will be filled. And when we will come to work, somebody will say, we were here before you. So we need to provide a Christian alternative for whatever is happening in Romania. We need in Romania training centers for leaders of the country. There is such a limited number of people that can lead the churches or can do the work of Christ. We need centers to bring them together for a few days or a few weeks, equip them, encourage, motivate them, and send them to do the work. We need to start Christian schools. We need to have printing houses here. We need to have Christian magazines. We need to think even of a Christian university where we will train people for the new realities of Romania.
The new realities of Romania. One very pressing reality anticipated by Titi Bolzano is the large number of former Communist Party members. I'm not talking about the party chiefs who are responsible for crimes, but the rank and file, those who joined the party because it was the only way to enter university, those who joined for convenience rather than conviction. What will become of them?
We have to remember that out of the 3.5 million of Communist Party members, maybe 3 million, more than 3 million for sure, 3 million of the most intelligent, the most brilliant students and professionals in the country have been forced almost to join the Communist Party. So there is all of a sudden a very huge group of people, highly qualified, knowing lots of questions and answers of this world, but that will become sort of a pool for witch hunt in the country. The question is now, who will take care of these? Everybody's against them. I think that now it's time for the Christians to really understand what the love for the enemy means, and we should love them. There could be all kind of things thrown at them, and there will be some fights, but I'm sure the only ones that will be able to love them and thus win them on their side is Christians.
So we must love them or we lose them.
Exactly. Otherwise, I'm sure that the entire Europe will show, will point their fingers back to us and say, you haven't been able to love them. That's why we have now a new kind of refugees, the ex-communists.
With the new freedoms that you're experiencing here in Romania just now, is it going to be easier for you to witness for Christ?
I think the responsibility stays the same. If we won't do it from now on, it will be but more apparent. But till now, we could say we never wore the yoke they wanted us to wear. There is only one cure for fear of people, fearing God. So we feared God and respected man. And I must say, we've been respected.
Titi, is there anything you would like to say to American Christians just now, if they were listening to this tape?
I'd like to tell everyone that I would meet, to wake up and look toward God, and also to look toward your laws that have been given and thought about and designed by people that trusted the Lord and believed in God. And the entire world is expecting from you a lot more than political apathy. I would like Americans to be aware of their heritage and also about their responsibility. Till now, here in our country, they've always been called the policemen of the world. It would be so great that they would become the real liberators of the world.
With me on this trip were Don Ingram, pastor of Palmcroft Baptist Church in Phoenix, Arizona, Don Miller, pastor of Grace Community Chapel in St. Peter's, Missouri, and Dave Kulros, music editor from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Immediately after leaving Romania, we debriefed in our Budapest hotel room. Dave, what impressed you the most?
The joy and the happiness on the faces of even the border guards, because that was my first impression of Romania the first time I went. There was no joy in the faces.
They smiled and said, "Welcome to free Romania."
Yes, patted us on the backs. That really struck me immediately.
You know, there was the intangible. It's something you have to be there in order to experience. It's always before you, when it was like there was a cloud over everywhere you went. Now the cloud was removed. There was a sense of we're people again. We can say what we want to say. We can even think what we want to think.
And talk about it,
and even be able to share on the street corner. And I remember every place we went where there was a newsstand, the lines were at least a block long to get newspapers. And that was it. We're starting to hear things that are true.
I've been working in this area for 29 years now, and I've always sensed an oppression, a spirit of oppression. I didn't find that.
It's a spirit rather than, sure, we saw the externals, but even what was so there was the spirit was different.
Poverty has an oppression all by itself, no matter where you are, and you sense that, but you're right, the oppression that I felt the other time I was here just was not there. Something that Titi said, he was surprised at how quickly the Romanian hospitality has come back to their people, and we saw that even more than ever before.
The key about the statement about the lines of newspaper people for newspapers, there were lines for food still. The reports of food in all the shops that we heard in America were true for a few days, but that can't last forever. There are lines again for bread. But the lines for the newspapers were 3 and 4 times as long as the food lines. They want information.
Well, I think, too, even when Dave and Don were down in Arad and got to go right into the mayor's office, the governor's office, and, you know, it was such a... there was laughter. There was a, do you want this? Do you need this? Please, come back.
What can we do to help
you? What can you do to help? You know.
They offered us food and hotel rooms. Can we get you a room? Anything we wanted, they wanted to do for us.
And I think we ought to go on tape at this point and say that not only were the visas free as we crossed the country, crossed Hungary. When I got to the Hungarian border, I was looking for some photographs, and going to have photographs made for those on the team that didn't have photographs, because each visa required 2 photographs. And we put down transit. You remember we put transit on our visa? And there's not many places you can go out of Hungary besides to Romania. So the lady asked, "Are you going to Romania?" Now, on any other time, you'd almost be very guarded as to what you said. You know, you'd hedge on a question like that. But I felt liberty to say, yes, we're going to Romania. And immediately she says, do you have any medical equipment or things like that? And I said, well, yes, as a matter of fact, we do. And she says, well, can you have some document or something to show that what you have? And she says, I think I can get your visa free. Now, visas round trip are $35 or $36. And we got free visas coming and going across. And, well, we didn't need the pictures.
But if we'd had to buy pictures, that would have been even more money.
Yes. Bill, before we start talking about some of the matters of the church, I think it'd be interesting to talk about something that really highlighted the changes. Let's talk about the parking attendant in that parking lot and who gave him the calculator.
Well, we didn't have any Romanian money to pay for our parking when we came into the hotel parking lot. And so I said, in a moment... And so I went upstairs, and I had this small pocket calculator that I had been carrying that someone gave me a quantity of. And I took it back down and gave it to him, and his face lit up immediately. The next day, he brought back a handwritten English note from his 17-year-old, was it, Don, son, and who is going to be a doctor, and he could not afford to buy a little pocket-sized calculator that we can buy for $2 or $3.
Yeah, but even that... We're starting to load the car. We're leaving, and I saw those big Bibles there, and so the Lord said, "Why don't you trust me with the Bible?" But this was a Bible were for a pastor. Then it just got. What am I doing? I'm standing right here in a hotel parking lot, trunk open, people around, and we're talking about Bibles. You know, just instantly it just came to me. Now and then I saw a little cellophane. Paperback that Don had brought in, and the NIV, and asked Don if we could give him that, hoping and believing that God will, as he reads this to improve his English, the Holy Spirit will talk to him about his need of Christ. But I can remember just for an instant that what am we doing open right here in the openness with everybody around us, and there were just gobs of people getting a Bible, packing our car.
And I had the same feeling, Don, because ordinarily I would always have parked the car facing the hotel, so the trunk would be opened away from the hotel. We would never have gotten something out like that. Normally, under normal circumstances, we would have driven miles out in the country and maybe in the woods somewhere. We would have opened up the trunk and shifted the load or opened up another case and gotten the Bible out. Here we are in the parking lot with the trunk facing the hotel, and we're talking about it, and we prayed for that Bible, prayed that God would...
right there. In the, something you would... Yeah, prayed right there.
And yet in the midst of rejoicing, there is sorrow in this country.
Yes.
We saw evidence of it all around.
Oh, yes.
We were here on their National Day of Mourning. We saw in many cities people remembering those that have lost their lives. We saw difficult things to explain in the city of Timișoara. So it was Titi who said it's going to be a long time for Timișoara, for example, before it really knows peace. So that speaks of the other side.
All the flags had black on them.
Yes, yes.
Well, I think that one of the things that I kept hearing caution in the heart of Titi, of Paul, of Nick, of men with spiritual discernment saying, there's the euphoria now of peace. Yeah, V for Victor. I've never seen going down the roads, kids running out with V, running with a V for Victory.
Other drivers would flash you a V as they drove by. Citizens on the street. And another thing, I remember that it was always so quiet on the streets. No one talking. People walking with heads down, cast down like this. Now people are looking up and looking around. They're smiling, and people are talking.
But, however, after the euphoria is gone, and these leaders are saying, we have hard days ahead. Killing Ceausescu is not going to put immediately meat in the meat markets and bread on the table, and because we have no leadership. There's been no one trained. From tyranny to democracy, as Paul says, has to go through anarchy, and I guess that's where it is. But there is tough days ahead for Romania.
Well,
Well, yes, and the thing, I think the second thing that struck me so vividly as we arrived was the fact that Paul thanked us for coming with food, thanked us for bringing medicine, thanked us for being here. But he said the most important thing was not the material needs they had, but the spiritual needs.
And yesterday, Bill and I said to Bill as we drove along, do you remember when Douglas MacArthur signed the unconditional surrender of Japan and said, the doors are open for Christians. We can use 2,000 missionaries immediately. And the Christian church did not respond. And look at Japan today. Materially, you know, on top of the world, spiritually still in darkness. Here is where the church today has another opportunity to go in with literature, with training programs, holding crusades, educating their pastors. You know, the statement, I think, that Dave reminded us, that they said that
90% of the church buildings are unfit to be used as churches.
Yeah, and so maybe it could be that some of us are going to have to curtail our building programs in the United States in order to send our sharpest guys and gals into this country for the spiritual revolution. As every one of them, I think, used the word, there's a vacuum.
Here's the thing that didn't change for me. When I came here before, I felt among the leaders, the evangelical leaders of Romania, that they had a strategy to reach their nation, something that we don't experience in America.
Right.
And even though the political arena has changed, the strategy is still the same. The leaders still strategize to reach Romania for Christ. Now there are some changes. I reminded one of the leaders who said, now if our people don't witness, it will just become more apparent now than it was.
I think in America we have come to the point that we shoot at nothing and hit it all the time and call it success. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think that they are really laying out a strategy to get the gospel to every hamlet, to every city, and they know they got opposition.
And I believe what Paul said with all my heart in dark, dark Europe, that Romania could hold the key to revival, not only for Eastern Europe, but Western Europe. The idea that so many people in this country know so many different languages, and there is revival here, and the beginnings of revival, and now is the time that we must move them forward, because in 5 or 10 years, he speaks about that spreading very rapidly.
What gives me great hope is, and I am such a novice, I believe that the leader, the Christian, the evangelical, the Bible-believing leadership in Romania is probably the sharpest people I have ever seen anywhere.
I will say amen to that.
I mean, you know, I'm such a novice in some of these other countries. I'm sure they have some leaders. But every man that we met is deep spiritual, thinkers, committed to the Word of God, articulate, a vision for the future, which says, if with this type of leadership, if we will provide for them the tools, as they said, we'll get the job done. And I believe under the Spirit of God, they'll do it.
Don, when I am around these leaders, I feel a little bit what it must have been like to have been around the Apostle Paul and others, more so than ever in my life.
I'm also impressed with the fact that in spite of the oppression of Christians in the years before the revolution, that these Christian leaders are known in the country as Christians. We went to a hospital in Arad, and the doctor there actually knew of Dr. Gheorghiță as an endocrinologist. And then he said, and he is a religious leader, isn't he? These people have an audience, and they are ready to take advantage of that at this moment for Jesus Christ.
And how good it was to hear them speak about not only the church, but a love for communists and communism. And maybe you could elaborate on that.
I think the thing that impressed me the most was Titi's summary,
yes,
where he said, if many of these communists are communists more for convenience than out of conviction. Because when they were in school, they were brilliant, sharp guys, but they could not go on with their education, they could not go on and get a degree unless they agreed to join the party. And because they didn't know the Lord, because they had nothing else, okay, the Communist Party was okay for them. But they joined out of convenience, not out of conviction. And now, they are in the Communist Party has been disbanded, declared illegal, they are discredited, but they still have the same sharp minds, and if we don't love them, we will lose them. I think we must remember that.
You know, I think that there's also a caution that I think that Paul kept saying to us in a way. Yes, thank you for your medical supplies. Yes, thank you for your food supplies. Yes, thank you for the monetary things that you can bring us. But, gentlemen, what we need is a spiritual revolution. Thank God for American Christians. In fact, Americans themselves have a tendency to be open with their pocketbook. And if we don't watch, we will spoil the Christians by bringing in so much. And in fact, Nick said one of the keys is that we haven't worked now for numbers of years because of the communist system of government. You got paid whether you worked or whether you didn't work, as long as you put in some time. And he said, we're going to have to work. And if we'll work, this nation can become a great nation. And I think that was right on to the Christians, that the Christians do not now sit back and say, ah, we're free, therefore now all is at ease. No, he's saying, we must work like we've never worked before. And we got to be careful that we do not spoil them with just making sure that they don't have to depend upon the Lord because their big brother in the United States is coming with his billfold open.
There's a fear of what else Western culture is going to bring them.
Yes.
And that, again, back to Paul sees these days as strategy. I may botch up the quote, but give us the tools, he says to Christians in America, and we will evangelize Romania.
I look on the horizon, I see every cult, even the liberals going in with their social programs and trying to represent Christianity. But we must be on the cutting edge.
I think this would be a good time to say, and our purpose on this time is, of course, to glorify our Savior, but you talk about new people coming in. And I would like to say publicly, even if you edit this out, Bill, that we rejoice with you for your years of faithfulness.
Yes.
And Don said it, we just tagged along. But we are very grateful for the years of ministry and the vision that you had. And we know that this is a very emotional time of joy for you. And I want to remind you what T.D. said to you. We don't plan to enlarge the list. And I hope every member that has supported it, In Touch Ministries mission through the years will loudly and clearly recognize that in many, many ways, God has honored this ministry and should rejoice for what has happened.
You know, that triggers something in my mind. Did not T.D. say that they had 11 or 12 calls that day from all kind of groups? And that's when he said the list will not be enlarged. I think he was saying, Bill, you and a few others have been there when the border crossings took 3 and 4 hours and searchings and so on. Where were these people then? Now the door's open, they want to come in. And I think that's and glory to the Lord, because that's what God's called you to do. But I think it shows the ministry of In Touch has been, sure, we may have a new strategy, but I think the ministry of In Touch is not over. I think it's just beginning.
It's a frightening responsibility that faces us at this time. It is a new ball game, as someone has already stated this morning, and we had better move quickly. The analogy with Japan, Don, I think is a sobering one. If we don't strike now, we could lose our opportunity for the Lord.
Don, I was really impressed this morning when you said, we've got to rewrite the book. You know, it's not the same strategy. It's not the same anything before. Could we talk just for a few moments now, in closing, about a possible new strategy? Pastors, supporting of pastors, helping to build churches. 90% of the churches are in disrepair. They're run down. They've had nothing. They couldn't get any kind of funds or couldn't get permission to rebuild or to modernize or to enlarge or to even redecorate. That was always a big problem. So many of the churches need some work done on them.
You know, this is must be very, very careful in rewriting the book. Sometimes you throw out the baby with the bathwater. And that is happening so many times. As I see it, I don't like the idea of bringing all their leaders, all of a sudden plunking them into U.S. Seminaries that will take the drive out of them. But what I see is taking like the school of the prophets and pouring energies and money and let that really develop into a ministry that may headquarter or start in Oradea, but go to Arad, go to Cluj, with same type, because one of the teachers lives up in Cluj. Send out now and get lay people who work their jobs, who are still willing to pay the price. What is it, 3 days a week? They come after work and they're 3 hours, 4 days a week?
3 days, 4 hours, 3 days, 4 hours a night.
But Amos said, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. But out of Romania could go to missionaries to Hungary, East Germany. It could be the spiritual fountainhead.
And I must add to that, Don, that Titi, perhaps the day you were in Cluj, voiced the vision that the Christians already are starting to formulate, that they have the opportunity now of having Christian schools, of having ministries to the elderly, much like our churches are learning to do in America. And we talked at length with Lydia yesterday about ministry to women's groups and ladies in the church, but they don't even know how to have good Sunday schools. And we must now help them train their own people to get out of the safety and the security of the four walls of their church to witness to their neighbors, which they have been afraid to do for the last 40-some years.
Well, brothers, it's been a wonderful trip. Don, do you have a closing word?
Yeah, the last thing I'd like to say is I'd like to remind the people of two things that the 200,000 people shouted in the streets of Timisoara. One was, there is a God. And we rejoice in that. But the fact is, God is sovereign, and He was just as much sovereign 4 weeks ago when Ceausescu reigned, as well as now, as he is damned in hell. Our Lord, the Most High God, is sovereign, and He will rule over the nations and kingdoms of men and choose to have anyone rule over them who He wishes. The other thing that the crowds cried out from the streets is now or never. They were talking about a political revolution. I think what the Christian leaders were telling us, Romania, was the same thing. It must be now or never.
Amen.
I agree.
The question on everyone's mind is, how will Romania look in 2 years, secular or sacred? The answer to that question may well lie in what we as Christians do now. Romania has the spiritual possibility of being the fountain of revival for the whole of Eastern Europe. Paul, what can American and British and South African Christians do to help?
I will quote Sir Winston Churchill during the Second World War when he cried to America and said these words, "Give us the tools and we'll finish the job." I will cry to American Christians, "Give us the tools and we will evangelize Romania."
A new strategy is needed for the new Romania. They still need medical equipment, and with your help, we will continue to deliver it. In addition, we must provide support for some of the many lay pastors who have been secretly trained in the school of the prophets during the oppressive years and can now operate openly as full-time pastors. It's not an overstatement to say that the potential for a mighty moving of the Holy Spirit throughout Eastern Europe rests in Romania. The Christians ask that we pray for them. Do not fail them now. Help us to put tools in their hands so they can finish the job. Together, let us believe the Lord to turn the miracle revolution into a major revival.